The beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, the Torah describes the encounter that's going to take place between Yaakov and Esav. The first few psukim, Yaakov sends Malachim to Esav, preparing for this encounter, and essentially issues to them directives. Chazal tell us that Yaakov should not taking this initiative. Because Esav was dormant, there was quite a interregnum between the time that Yaakov Avinu, essentially, after the terrible situation that emerged from the Brachos and the Bechora, Yaakov was forced to flee and to run for his life. And after that situation, there's quite a lengthy period of time between Yaakov Avinu and his brother Esau, where they did not see each other for an extended period of time. So Chazal take Yaakov to task. And the Ramban here cites the famous Medrash, Machzik Bas Dekelim Al Rib Lo, that you have a let sleeping dogs remain dormant. And Yaakov Avinu did not do that. He decided to somehow attempt to see if he can effect a rapprochement with his brother, with Esav. The Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu was frightened of this potential encounter and meeting, and that's in Pasuk Ches. You read in Paragraph the very Pasuk Ches. Vayirah Yaakov ba'od vayetzer lo. I'm sorry, but there are Chumashim right outside. I apologize. Right outside. Here, you can take this one. That's also that as well. It's fine. I'm familiar with it. So it says, and we know that Chazal say he prepared for three possible eventualities. There were three tactics that Yaakov Avinu decided he's going to employ. One is Dorom, he's going to attempt to essentially be Mephais Esav by offering him presents. And that's what the Torah describes a bit later by Yavra Hamitcha Alpanov. And then Yaakov Avinu davens to Hashem, that Kodesh Baruch Hu should save him from any possible tragedy that might emerge, that might occur. And then the ultimate, which of course Yaakov Avinu did not want to use that methodology, milchama, even if it means to go to battle with Esav, he was ready to do so. But Yaakov Avinu was terribly frightened, and that's indicated in that pasuk. Vayira Yaakov Ba'od, Vayetzalo, and Rashi comments already at the spot. Rashi says he was afraid. Shema Yaro, Shema Yehore, perhaps he will have to kill, perhaps he himself will, Rahman Litzlan, be killed as well. So that's the Pasha I want to discuss from a first halachic standpoint, and then perhaps present a bit of a hashkafic outlook on the matter. So there's a Gemara in Brachos that's found on the top of the page in front of you. The Gemara has a comment. The Gemara in Brachos, Abdallah, the famous Gemara. Gemara says that why was Yaakov Avinu afraid? Something Rashi has here, but Rashi quotes it in Chumash. And why was Yaakov frightened? Hashem promised him, "Vineh nochi imach, u'shmarticha v'chal Hashem teilech, v'ashi wasicha v'adama azos, ki lo ve'ezov v'cha, ad Hashem vasisi, es Hashem divad v'loch." Hashem promised him, "I will guard you, I'll protect you." So certainly he can rely on that. And then I'll talk of Hashem. So Rashi quotes from the Chazal, the Gemara Brachos Daf Dalit. Says Rashi, Yaakov was fighting Shema Yigro Machet. Perhaps as a result of the transgressions that he had unfortunately done, maybe that would undo and negate the Haftocha of Hashem's Barach. That's a Gemara in Brachos and Avdal.
What is Rashi alluding to? What's he thinking that Yaakov could have done wrong?
We don't know. We really don't have any clue. There's no reason to assume that Yaakov had tzaddik. Ram calls him Hilchos Tirus Shavu Yaakov had tzaddik.
So why would Rashi?
Okay, Rashi's quoting the Gemara. That's what the Gemara said. That's what Yaakov Avinu was frightened of. Because end other tzaddik Gemara says the pasuk says there's no perfect tzaddik. Yaakov didn't see himself as a perfect tzaddik. He was afraid even perhaps a minor chet might vitiate, might negate the haftocha that Hashem promised him. So there's a famous kasha in this and here the Gemara that you do have. The Gemara says, "Amr Ab Yochanan Yeshua Ab Yossi." Top line: "Pol Dibur V'Dibur Siyatsa Mekadosh Baruch Hu L'Tova Afilu Atzanai Lo Chazavo." Hashem promises something, especially something of a positive nature, Hashem does not change his mind. Even if it's a promise that's made on Sinai, there's some condition, there's some contingency that it depends on lo chazar ba. So if that's the case, what in heaven's name is Yaakov Avinu concerned about? He's worried Hashem Yidron Achen, maybe he committed some minor transgression.
Yaakov Avinu didn't disforce it with Rabbi Yossi.
Namely?
In other words, Rabbi Yossi is teaching it.
Okay, we will discuss this. That's where we're headed for. I hear? Good. Secondly, another question is from the Pesukim B'Chumash itself. And this you don't have unless you have a Chumash in front of you. The Torah has the Pasha in Dvarim of Navi Sheker. There's a Navi Emes, a truthful, genuine Navi. And whatever he says, whatever he is directed to from on high, from Hashem Yisbarach, he carries out. And there's a Navi Sheker who has his own agenda. We say actually in the brachas of the Haftarah, one of the brachas is, whatever a Navi prognosticates, predicts, has to come to fruition. That's the nature of a Navi Emes. That's a genuine Navi, as opposed to Navi Sheker, who I just described, has his own agenda. And even though, of course, he contends that he's carrying out the Dvar Hashem, and that's what the Pasuk says in Dvarim. The Pasuk says, the language of the Pasuk, I believe, is, V'chisomar bilva becha. You might ask the following question. Eicha, the Gemara said, the Pasuk says, Eicha, neita sadova shalom divra Hashem. How do we know? How do we know that Hashem did not direct this Navi, who's a Navi Sheker? Maybe he obviously feels he is directed from on high, and he is a genuine Navi. And he is entitled to his opinion. So how do we know? The Pasuk says, the Pasuk ends the discussion. And the Pasuk says, Asher yidabri ha-Navi b'shem Hashem b'lo yogo. A Navi predicts something, it doesn't come to fruition. What I just mentioned from the Bracha, not Torah. V'dabra echa mitbarecha, even something of a minor nature, that the Navi predicts, prophesies, does not come to fruition. Ochor lo yoshu reka. That's what the Pasuk says in Chumash. In the same as the Torah says over there, that the language is Asher Yidaber Hanavi B'Shem Hashem V'Lo Yavo Hu Adavar Asher Lo Dibur Hashem. He's called the Navi Sheker. That's the barometer. If someone is a Navi Sheker, it's Chayav Misa. But now, according to Rashi, again, just adding fuel to the fire, if Rashi says that Chet is Goring, that a potential Chet that the person did could undermine and undo any Havtocha of Hashem, could simply negate the possibility of that Havtocha, that promise being realized, so then there's no raya that the person is a Navi Sheker. The fact that something did not happen is no proof. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu really said what he said. However, the reason why it wasn't Bekuyah, because Hashem Agar Machet, because the Chet caused the Nevuah not to come to realization. So the whole Pasha of Navi Sheker, based on this, what Yaakov Avinu was worried about, Hashem Agar Machet, would in effect be undermined. And the Torah, in effect, says very clearly that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something, he's going to do X and Y. And there's no question that's what's going to be. There's no way that that could be rendered null and void. It's a promise of Hashem Yisbarach. And that promise of Hashem Yisbarach to a Navi is going to be carried out. But there's a concept called Navi Sheker, namely if it's not carried out. So now the question, of course, is, so why is Yaakov Franklin, Shem Yigun Achet, Hashem promises him. Hine Anochi Imoch, Ushmaticha V'chal Asher Teleh, what's the Vayira Yaakov? What's the basis for Shem Yigur Machet? There are two questions so far, and they're all going to be of a similar nature, as you'll see in a moment, just to pile on a few more while I'm at it. There's a Gemara as well, another Gemara, also Gemara in Brachas Nabdalid. The Gemara actually dashens a Pasuk. That's I found over here on the left-hand corner, in the middle of the page, so in the last three or four lines. This is the Gemara that quotes this entire comment of Rashi. You see the comment, the Gemara mentions it here. The Gemara asks it in the form of a question. It says, "Hinei Anochi Imoch," and then it says, "Vayira Yaakov Shem Yigur Achet." That's the Gemara over here. And then the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Fascinating Braisa. We say this every day in the davening by the Shira Sayam. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzuka Nisa. So the Gemara dash in this pasuk. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Zubi Arishona. That till the Am of Hashem passes, that refers to the first entry in Eretz Yisrael. Ad Yavar Amzuka Nisa, Zubi Ashnia. The second time it's mentioned, refers to the second entry of Kol Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Yikan Amu Chachamim. Chazal say, Ruyim Hogi Yisrael V'yasas Lehem Neis B'mei Ezra K'dach Shanasu Lehem B'mei Yeshua B'nun. I'm sorry, it's a bit cut off, I see. That really, Kol Yisrael were Roy for a Nes in the second entry, which is during the days of Ezra Nechemya. Unfortunately, not enough Jews came back. Not enough Jews made Aliyah. Only a very small number made Aliyah. That's also one of the famous sources of angst that many of us have regarding Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so the Gemara comments that really there should have been Nisim during the days of Ezra, the way Hashem performed Nisim, days of Yeshua ben Nun. But what happened? Ela Shigara Machet. The Gemara uses this real rationale of Yaakov Avinu, the reason why Nisim did not occur during the days of Ezra. Again, for the same reasoning that Yaakov Avinu invokes, Shema Gara Machet. But no, basically, the Zman Ezra should have been not the chesed of Koresh. There was a well-known king, Cyrus, I think that's his English name, I'm not mistaken, Koresh. He's the one who essentially gave his imprimatur for this entire project, namely as Nechemya. We should come back to Eretz Yisrael, we build this Hamikdash. But it wasn't done the way we had during the days of Yeshua. We were talking about unbelievable miracles that the entire Sefer is focused on in the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, the Yad Ramah. But what is the reason why that's so? So the Gemara says, yeah, Kachet Gora. So I don't understand. This is a Nevuah. Ad Yavraham to Hashem, Ad Yavraham to Kanisa. This is a prophecy. Correct? A prophecy, both in the days of Yeshua and a prophecy in the days of Ezra Nechemya. How could the Chet be Mabatel, a prophecy? I'm just piling on Kasha, just for evidence. Since you started, so I decided to continue your process, if you will. I'm going to get to eventually what I want to get to. So the one who deals with this issue is the famous Rambam in the Agdama to say the Zohar, which is right here. If you're right, I'm not asking you to read it. I'll sort of summarize it for you if you don't mind. I hope you trust me that I can summarize it in the proper kind of way. The Rambam discusses this, and the Rambam is bedayik. The Rambam is incredible. I don't have to, Rambam does not need my imprimatur, my haskama, nothing. But the Rambam is very, very bedayik in the Gemara on top of the page, that the Gemara is clear that there's a distinction between haftocha letov and cholila and nevuah lera. The language of the Gemara is called Diba Bedibur. Every word that came out of the Baruch's mouth, Litova. If it's of a positive nature, then Hashem does not negate. When you promise, let's say, one of your children something, one of your grandchildren, great grandchildren, whatever it may be, so you, of course, are going to fulfill that. Even if the grandchild or grandson or son does not necessarily, shall we say, behave accordingly, or there may be some deviation from the path along the way. But you made a promise, so you have to carry out the promise. The Gemara has in Sukkah. The Gemara says, if you promise a young child something, so the Gemara says, Lamim l'shomta, teach yourself that when you issue a promise, you better carry that. But here, the Ram is v'dayik, a promise l'tof. Notice this distinction. This is how the Ram passes the halacha in Mishnah Torah as well, in the Hilchos Sari HaTorah, a very famous Rambam, namely, Ahtocha b'tov, apam will never be negated. Once Hashem promises something of a positive nature, even if there are chatoim, it doesn't make a difference. That's what the Gemara says. However, if it's a haftocha l'ram, that can be rendered null and void. Hashem promises, God forbid, there'll be a onesh, there'll be some other tragedy, some other catastrophic consequence. That can be undone. How? By tshuva. If we do tshuva, Hashem will not do so. Won't carry that out. Or we have whatever zchuyot we need in order to be able to vitiate. In the gate, that haftocha l'ra, that nevuah l'ra. So that also can be undone. And that's essentially, if you, I'm sure you're familiar with Tanakh a little bit, that's what the Rambam cites. The Rambam cites the whole chapter, and you may all know it. This is classic Rambam. Rambam always sees unbelievable halachic postulates throughout Tanakh. And he's one of the Rishonim who really is probably the best at articulating it. You see them on the Buchim, and you see Kimat Egeria Mishnah Torah. There's a chapter in Tanakh, a famous chapter. He quotes it here. It's sort of in the middle of the Rambam, where it says, "The Uma Sheomer Yirmiyahu Chavches." You see that? I don't know if you can see that. It's sort of Rambam and everything. So that's the problem. But anyway, in the middle of this essay of the Rambam, so there's a famous dialogue between Yirmiyahu HaNavi and the Navi Sheker, Hananya ben Azor. Rambam quotes this vikuach. What did this Navi Sheker Hanan Ben Ezor said? Yirmiyahu was called by Hashem. There's going to be a Churban. There's going to be a Churban HaMikdash. What does this Navi say? This Navi says, absolutely not. Under no circumstances, we're going to somehow emerge from the yoke of Melech Babel. And he goes ahead and even breaks, as you indicated, the Motot Bazel of Yirmiyahu. That's his indication that the whole thing is absolutely, literally pure skullduggery on the part of the Yirmiyahu HaNavi. There's no basis for what he's saying whatsoever. And the pasuk said, I don't have it in front of me, but he takes the moat and he says, "Kol Hashem that Eshbor Adol Melech Babel Mashim Kazeh." I don't know the pasuk in my head. I actually taught Yirmiyahu, so I should be familiar with it, but it's already at least 15 years ago. Anyway, so I said, "Many shurim." I said, "Yirmiyahu." So that's what the Navi indicates, and Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, "Absolutely, what you're saying is, how should I put it, humbug, without any basis whatsoever." And the Navi indicates that all the Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash, Bogadu Yuvahu, they're going to be brought to Babel. So you're running the Tzubis, that's our Navi Tzuken. They're going to be brought to Babel and Shom Yiyu and Yom Paktinu Hashem. And therefore, there's a Biklach, a public Biklach between Yirmiyahu and Navi, who's the Navi Hashem, who's genuine, he's a Navi Emet, he's a Navi Shemuzak, Liot Navi, and this Navi Sheker, Hananya. And Yirmiyahu tells him, okay, halabai, what you say should be true. Amen. He says, "Amen." To what the Navi Sheker said, "Ken Yasei Hashem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Halavai, you should spare Klal Yisrael and spare the Beis Hamikdash, and there should be no Churban. Halavai, Halavai, you should be right." But he indicates the following, and then that the Pesukim indicate that. I think quotes a bit of it. The Rambam says over here, "Yeah, Hanavi Hashem Yinabel Shalom." If the Navi, in effect, prophesies in Shalom, Bevod Vahanavi. Then it will be clear. Then it will be known that what the Navi said is correct. Now, this is the cloud of the Rambam. When the Navi is Menabe, Lishalom, then there's no taina of Shema Yigur Achet. There's no possibility that Achet can undermine. If the Nevuah is Lishalom, there's going to be peace, and you'll be spared, and everything will be fine, and hunky dory, then no Achet can possibly undo that. But the Navi who's prophesying Churban, so we don't know. If there's no hochacha that these are Navi Sheker, if there's no churban, because maybe they did tshuva. If they did tshuva, the whole zera will be rendered null and void. The whole zera will be batel. Hashem will not carry out that nevuah. By the way, there's a raya, I believe, from Achav, and to be learning that on Shabbos now in Melachim, that Achav actually, at one point, even though he was destined for terrible punishment, for doom and gloom, he was nichna. And because of his achnoam, the pasuk says that there was no rob, there was no famine. So that's the same idea. So here the Navi says, Yirmiyahu, I say churban, you say shalom. If your words are not going to come to fruition, so then obviously that's a simon that you are a Navi Sheker. I say your words are not going to be mekuyim. That's exactly what happened. And the Rambam shows from these prokim and Yirmiyahu and Navi, the dialogue between Yirmiyahu and the Navi Sheker, this principle that the Ram lays down in the Sari HaTorah, what I just mentioned, when the Ram is dying for Lashon Gemara, one word, called Dibush Yatsim Yakadosh Baruch Hu L'Tova. That's the whole deal of the Rambam. And then he dies in front of the Tzokim in the Yirmiyahu Chavches, which is much more elaborate. So therefore, the Ram comes now to the following conclusion. And this is found over here. I'm just summarizing it, if you don't mind, as opposed to reading it inside. The Ram says that the following maskana is to be the right. When Hakadosh Baruch Hu speaks to a Navi or to a Yachid, speaks to an individual who's obviously a Shliach Hashem, who obviously is given a directive. So if it's going to be Latov, then if it's somebody who's of a positive nature, it has to come to fruition. No question, the Rambam says, if it doesn't come to fruition, he's a Navi Sheker. Because obviously, without that, we will not be able to clarify or to establish the Amito Tanavua, the genuineness of the Navi, one way or another. This is the barometer, this is the litmus test that we're going to use in order to know whether the Navi is genuine or not. That's what the Torah said. That's how a Navi is going to be nifchan. That's how we test a would-be Navi in such a fashion. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi, Beinolo Bein Atzmo, not as a nevuah to be said to the public. Because generally, what are the Nevi'im? What's their function? Their function is niv svatayim. Their function is to essentially be menabi l'acherim. Vayomer Hashem, Vayidaber Hashem l'Moshe, leimor. So the function of the Navi is to prophesy, to communicate to others. But if Hashem tells the Navi a private kind of directive, namely Tiago Babino, It's a private communication to Hashem and Yaakov Avinu. I'm just saying the Rambam. If there's a private communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Navi, then says the Rambam, it's very possible Yigrom Hachet then becomes a factor. Then if the Navi is not completely glatt, the Navi is not totally straight in his behavior, then there's a possibility, Chas V'Shalom, that the Haftacha, even Hashem promised that Haftacha, that will be rendered null and void. Because only with a Navi is with Navi Lacherim, so the Rambam has this claw. Only when he prophesies, one second more, only when he prophesies to a large number of people, then we have this principle, whether we're talking about the Tov, but not the Tov, but to a Yachir, then the principle of Shemi Yimachet is still happening. But so we still have the question, I want to resolve the other, we still have the question from this Gemara. The Gemara Brachas here, and the left-hand column, the Gemara says, really, Klal Yisrael were worried for this, during the days of Ezra, Kedar Shinas on the day Yeshua ben Nun, El Shegar Machet. It's very difficult. What's going on over here? There should have been Bayad Ramah. So the Chet was Goring. So how do we understand that? So I saw in the Maral, in the Gur Aryeh Torah, he asked this question. And the Maral wants to answer two, three words. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said Beferish that he promised us that the Bia Shnia will be like Bia Rishonah. He said that Ad Yavram Chashem, there will be one bia, and then Adi Avraham Zuganis will be a second bia, but doesn't say explicitly that one is going to be like the second. You know, it's not mafurish, that's number one. Number two, he writes the, and it's true there's a hekesh, how do you say, comparison between the two bia. There is an analogy, Adi Avraham Zuganis, Adi Avraham Zuganis, Mistama the Ashakul, although the Eni Hashem, bia Rishon, and bia Shnia. However, as I said, that it's not explicit. That's not a haftacha mefureshet. That's one. Two, he says the following. First, he says, Ad Yavro Amcha Hashem. So he's medayik. They have to be Amcha. Amcha means, or Chazal say, Osim, I say Amcha. You know, as many times in Russia like that, that only if we carry out the, we behave as a nation, as Tal Yisrael should behave, then the this principle will be applicable. If something is missing in Amcha, then the Madrega of Bia is now, unfortunately, diminished, undergoes a diminution, and therefore, it's not considered to be a shinoi in the haftacha. So I'm just trying to lay down a principle. Maybe let me say one more thing, if you don't mind. I saw actually in the Mizrahi, there's a parish of Leo Mizrahi. Leo Mizrahi is a super commentary on Rashi. He was a rabbi in Constantinople. And it's not so widely used. I'm not sure why, but I guess we don't have any time between all the other mafarshim that we learned. So he has a very fascinating chiddush. He doesn't bring this Rambam. He should have brought the Rambam. I'm sure he knew the Rambam. But the Rambam also here has another element that's also very significant. That's not yet to Hanukkah. I'll just mention it if you don't mind, since it came to my head just now. So I saw this in the Mizrahi a while ago. So he has another fascinating idea, which is also embedded in the Rambam. Namely, the Rambam tells us that based on Sugin Chumash, and the Rambam has this on the bottom of the page. I didn't underline that section of the Rambam, but he's talking about the ability of a Navi to go ahead and change Dine HaTorah. So we know that if a Navi tells you that you should violate dinim in the Torah, what's the halacha? So the halacha is there's a pasuk, Elam Tishmo, very famous pasuk. We carry out the words of a Navi. It means once the Navi is muhsar, once he's established as a Navi, he wears the kasha of Avraham Avinu, maybe when he told Yitzhak his son to go out the Akedah, maybe he was hallucinating, maybe he was delusionary, this is your area, maybe something was amiss, correct, with his entire understanding of things. No, the Gemara says he was Muslim. He was established as a Navi. Once a Navi is established, so then there's a question presented by the Yoha Navi, the Malachim, where was he established as a Navi? Okay, this is a separate, and needs a separate discussion. How does a Navi establish his credentials? How does he become that Muhzak, that person who has that kind of Hazaka? But anyway, the Rambam commented on this. Can the Navi go ahead and change the Dini HaTorah? So the answer is yes. If he's Muhzak as a Navi, Elo Tishma, the Rambam tells you when, yes. Fruition is carried out. He's considered to be a Musik as a Navi. So again, if they tell you to be over on Divrei Torah, the Horashah, Ram gives an example. Eliyahu HaKarmel, that's a classic example. Adil Bakam was doing all kinds of funny stuff. Ola, Achutz, what's going on over here? I mean, it's classic. Classic Averos, left and right, he's not allowed to do. Shud Echutz is a Chiyuv Koras, the Torah says. And yet he does it. And the answer is he's established. He's Makim Ben Korban, the Hakamel, Shud Echutz, Yechayim Koras. Yechayim Koras, not just for the Shita, for the Halah, for the Akhtar, the Gemara says for everything. All the different components, all the different aspects of that kind of behavior, you're obviously liable for Koras. Elisha, Bishas Melchama, Zerna Baltashis. Oh, come on. I'm giving a number of examples over here. So the Navi tells you to do it. So he's a Navi MS, Elo Tishma, and you're going to listen to him. He's not a Navi MS, his credential is not established. Then there's a Navi Sheker. He can't tell you to violate Dvarim and Chomish. The Rambam gives a famous example, and this example is Nogia Tzachanagan. The example, and this is a Rai, by the way, that the Rambam read Maccabees. The Rambam is familiar with the Chashmonaim. Chashmonaim Alam, Chashmonaim Bet. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin writes, Kalakar, Misra, Machitzainim, but the Ritva writes over there, and the Shredder writes, that's all you do with peace. You learn it the way you're learning a black and bar. But if you read Sefer HaShmonai, nothing wrong with that. And you see Rishonim read Sefer HaShmonai, and we see the Rambam read it. How do I know? This is a very famous Rambam, that there's a whole discussion regarding battle on Shabbos. Am I allowed to go to battle, go to war on Shabbos? So Chazal have a famous Rasha. Ad Bidita, Filim Shabbos, of course. The Chavis Mitzvah is no question about it. So they're allowed to fight on Shabbos if that's necessary. So there was a Zokin. This Zokin story is found in Sefer HaShonai. The only place that it's found. That's how we know the Rambam knew. That's not a chiddush to me, that the Rambam familiar with everything. That's not a saying that the Rambam didn't know. He read every book on psychology. I don't know if there are too many at his day. Every book on medicine. Right. Do that. Okay. Sound of my voice or something. What?
No.
What a contraption you got.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
Yes, still recording.
Okay.
Takes a look and keep
on. The Rambam has there in Sefer HaShmonai, it speaks about a zoking. Apparently, must have been a great Talmud Chacham. So they went to one Shabbos, the HaShmonai, and he said, no. I never did anything of this sort. I never was Michal Shabbos. And if I do this now on Shabbos, and I can't be Mishtatev, and I'm not going to be part of this, etc., etc. So that person has the status of a Mardan Binavua. He doesn't listen to the words of a Navi, and he's Chaya Nisa Neshonai. It's a Mishnah, Mishnah Sahib. That's what the Rambam says about such an individual, because the same Akarish Baruch Hu who commanded us to observe Shabbos, commanded us, Elav Tishmon, to listen to a Navi. And the Navi tells you, namely Hashmonaim, that whatever status they were, but they clearly were high up there, and they said we have to fight on Shabbos, the Syrian Greeks, and then when that's the halacha, that's what we have to get it to do. A Navi, Yashetzim, B'Shem Hashem, so the Rambam says that it doesn't make a difference, that you have to listen to the words of the Navi, and that is the Koach of Chachmei HaTorah, or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, okay, this is more or less what I just wanted to present so far. And then I want to give a little bit for you, if you don't mind, a few moments, a bit in more of a hashkafic kind of sense. Okay, there were several comments. Yeah.
I just wanted to ask you, is it correct to say that the avot could be considered?
Yes.
There was a man. Not as an individual, as an
Okay, that's a different question. It's a very good question. The question is, one could argue the answer is yes. And based on the Mishnah and the Dharma, the Mishnah says that Avraham Avinu, essentially, once he came to the four, so he is no longer considered to be a Ben Noach, and he becomes Klal Yisrael, becomes Yisrael.
Then how come that Yaakov would be considered?
Okay, very good question. So that's a fair question. Again, the way I brought to you from the Mishnah and Dharma is not Mukhach, not 100%. Could be a small individual, still Matan Torah till Hasinai. I mean, Yesh Mizan is a lot of people, but it's a very good, it's a good Aaron, it's something worthy of being asked, and it needs actually further clarification what their status was. Are they individuals? Are they Yechidim? Or they represent Am Yisrael? We know that as Yechidim, they were kind of called to Kula. There's a Gemara Kedusha, the end of Kedusha, the Gemara says, also it's found in Yuma, and the Ramban calls in the Chumash, and the Apostle told us, Vayishma Mishmarti, Mitzvosai, Tugosai, Mitzvorosai. Someone asked me a catch this morning, Ashon Aleph student of Yeshua. Oh Hashem, that's a good sign. He says, Rashi quotes, in love on Garati, Vitalyag Misa Shamarti. So he said, Rosh Shiva, but you said, oh, Shekach, He said, but Shiva, you said, thank you very much, that you said, I'm just a bit under the weather for the last month, what can I do? I keep hoping that the Gemara says, Rifustin Sharacha, the Shiva Las Pasecha, Pashbirosha, Yasin Batara. But the three doctors in this shul told me that's all true and dandy, but you gotta take care of yourself. That's what they told me. And the Shema didn't know that I should say so. So I haven't gotten there yet. So it's Hashem. Anyway, he asked me, based on the Ramban, yeah, thank you, that's what he brought.
Amen.
So now the Ramban writes, and I discussed this Ramban also a month or so ago, and this fellow is very, he's an assiduous fellow. He's a young guy, 18 years old. But he asked me, he's very sharp, very good at it. Anyway, so he says to me, what do you mean? You told me the Ramban said, the Abbas only Mekayim Mitzvahs in Chutz Laaretz. So what's it? Love of God, Mekayim Mitzvahs, Shabbat, Yeretz Yisrael. Thank you. Only Yeretz Yisrael. That's an Ramban Shita. Very, it fits the Ramban, his whole perspective on life in general. The Ikar Kiyum HaMitzvahs, Ramban says in Yeretz Yisrael. Ramban found a few places in Chumash. Primarily, the Ramban is Barichos, it's in Chayisara. And then the Ramban is also based on the Rashi and Eker. The Ramban is the Chameimah. There's all kinds of places the Ramban has this position, which nobody agrees with. Nobody. But the Ramban, I like the Ramban a lot. And you probably also like it. You've been here a long time, Baruch Hashem. Most of you, if not all of you. But anyway, so the ESPS Tira. How could the Ramban, how does he fit with this? It's Chazal. It's not just Rashi. It's Chazal. Rashi is called Chazal. In love and garti, the Tagmi Tzor Shabbati. So I wanted to answer it in a Balabatish way.
One in particular, the two sisters.
Correct. That's the kasha that the Ramban deals with. The marriage of two sisters took place outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's how he connected two sisters and the Matseva and the whole list of items that the Ramban comments on the Pasha told us were took place outside Eretz Yisrael. All the Eretz Yisrael, they were Mekayim Mitzvahs. But here it says, Tayang Mitzvah Shamarti. Okay, I'm not going to go through this right now that I did with him. So I'm just to the point I'm making that you are right. On one hand, it looks like they are part of Klal Yisrael, but apparently they're still Yechidim in many, many respects. Only they were Mekayim these mitzvahs and nobody else. There were many members of, they became Klal Yisrael. Yes, Avraham Avinu appears in the scene. Yeah, none of them are Mekayim mitzvahs except for Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, perhaps their families, I'm not sure exactly. Okay, but in Yisrael, I'm saying I think it's a very, the Rambam, is deriving this result, namely Shabbat Yugam Achek, when it applies, when it doesn't apply, and deriving the Pesukim of Tanakh with Yom Yom, which is, I think, absolutely so typical of the sensational brilliance of the Rambam, how he sees things in Tanakh, and then applies them. Let me just mention what I wanted to add to this was the following. I heard once from Agoyim, I think I mentioned a few times that when I was 13 years old, I used to go to hear his sichot. My father, I lived in the Bronx, New York, and on Friday I had no high school. My father didn't know what to do with me. I'm a middle child syndrome. I was supposed to rebel. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? He's not competent. That's what middle children are supposed to do. So my father had to do something with me on Friday. So he sent me what I call a wild goose chase. 2 hours by train. 2 hours by train to Brooklyn. And then Rapam said a smicha, said shmuz. The Avrechim, the Kovel, Tarvadas. That was 1 hour. I was 13 years old. You hear? 13. I don't think you would send me to such an event. Maybe you would. And then, after that, an hour for pizza. 2 hours on the way back. That was the Friday that I took care of my Friday. So, I heard him for about 7 years. I went for 7 years. How would you analyze that kind of behavior? Doesn't want to tell me any of the secrets of the trade. Okay. So he said over the following, I heard him on this Pasha. I have to share with you. I'll never forget that. That by Yira Yaakov Ol by Yitzhak, he was frightened. So it's a Medrash. Medrash Rabbah says, what was he afraid of? That if God forbid something happens to me, let's close the door. Thank you. If something happens to me, you never know, that could affect the tripod here as well. So he said, Yaakov Avinu, if something happens to me, Nimtzah, I don't have the exact Russian in front of me. Ma'abed kol yigios sheyoga imi. All the efforts my mother put in, she get the brachas. I'm going to lose all that if God forbid something happens to me. Rapam was thunderstruck because she said, if you remember, Rivka said, oh, I kill us, don't worry. Go for the brachas. That's what the Targum says. I have the nevuah that you should get the brachas and not your brother. But I'll lose all the gear of Sheyoga Amy. So there we spoke about mothers and the role of mothers. I remember I was very taken by that. I was 13 years old. I couldn't get past it. What that medrash said, I never forgot that medrash. I'm going to lose kol yigio sheyoga imi. All that my mother implanted in me, all that she invested in me, and the mother's invested enormous amounts of unbelievable love and warmth and affection and effort and energy. And basically, I always tell the guys in my yeshiva, make sure you marry the right person. Make sure. And I also add, make sure you marry someone a bit more frum than you are. That's not saying too much. Just being cute with them. But anyway, make sure you marry someone who's more of a doctor in the business than you are, and you'll be in good shape. Because based on Zulishta, that's what Gemara said, that's everything that you have is the wife, the mother, the grandmother, great-grandmother, whatever. Anyway, so Yaakov Avinu, that's how he thinks. By Yira, Yaakov, that's why Yaakov Avinu is frightened. He's worried about all the Yigiyot Sheyoga Imo, all the efforts of his mother, of our wives, of our mothers, the grandmothers, the great-grandmothers. They say the Chafetz Chaim, that's all. I think I'm sure I heard this from Rapam as well. I'm positive I heard it from him. I heard many shmuzim from him. So Chafetz Chaim, apparently, that when he was, he came to the 80 years old, Guru, and they would say that Yimesh Nasim Vahem Shivim Shana, Bin Be Gurus, Shmonim Shana, Bin Rabam Amal Vahavim. I can't get to that right now, but I like that. My father was ready to that word, Bin Rabam, or Ra, whatever that means. Anyway, so the so when he came to the age of 80, the Chafetz Chaim decided it's a little bit difficult to believe, but he decided to have a birthday party. I don't know if he had too many birthday parties. I had one in my house every Monday and Wednesday for another granddaughter left and right. By the way, the other day we had a birthday party for granddaughter last Friday night, and my granddaughter. So I said to her, "Okay, if I daf kesher shalach, give me your daf kesher," and then she come to the Daf Kesher, and I tested on the Daf Kesher. She's 14 years old. What did she learn? Parshas Vayikra. What did I test her on for 1 hour? She knew every single carbon in Sefer Vayikra, with all the details, with all the minutia, pratim, upirtei pratim. I'm talking about the Eloh, and the Shlomim, and the Chatos, and the Asham Ilos, and Asham Zelos, and Shil Charufa, every prat, with prat, down to the last, literally, detail, is what on for 1 hour. So her father, to my son-in-law, says to me, do you think that this is a little bit Malameva? I said, no, this is one of the 1,000 reasons I met Aliyah. Just to hear this and to see this and to experience this, I thought it was great. What's wrong with even a young woman knowing all the Kabbalahs and Sefer Yikra? Every single Rashi and Vayikra she knew by heart. Rabbi Feinberg Shlita, what do you say to that? I don't know every Rashi and Vayikra by heart. I can't tell you all the problem of every carbon. Even after having learned Zvachin and Menachis, and I'm not a brisker, I'm not in the sense of kosher, it's not my area per se. What do you say? I could pinch it. Isn't that worthwhile coming to yourself just for that? To get nachas from that, it's okay. So the Chafetz Chaim decided to make a birthday party when he reached the age of 80. So they said, Chafetz Chaim, what? And I'm just now dramatizing. You're going to blow out candles? Well, I think they said that to him. I don't know if they had that practice. I have a brother-in-law, my wife's brother, just away. It was 2 years ago, so he used to go to Abchaim Pinevsky, he lived in Bnei for 50 years. And once I was with him, and he tells Abchaim, this must be 15 years ago that I was with him. Today is your birthday. He tells us Abchaim Pinevsky. So in Hebrew, he tells him, Hebrew, today's your birthday. So Abchaim asked him, Ech ata yodea? So he says, I put together this sefer and that sefer and all the different set of dates, and it's your birthday. And then he goes, my brother-in-law, happy birthday, Rav Chaim. Now, I don't think you ever heard that beginner. That's part of his masera from the disciple, from his father. I was aghast. Yeah, my brother, but he was that type of fellow, so it didn't bother him. And Abchaim is smiling from ear to ear. He said, well, what is that? What's main thought? What are you saying to me? So explain, happy birthday, Abchaim. So he smiled from ear to ear, like a Cheshire cat. I'm not joking. It's amazing to see. So anyway, so Abchaim decided to have a birthday party at the age of 80. So he asked him, why? So he says, I'll tell you why. My entire life, I want to be Makbid and Shmir Salmoshim. And I said to myself, I was always frightened, maybe because of some chet, who knows, maybe I would violate the din of Lashon Hara. I would say something that's inappropriate. I would do something that's inappropriate, and that would be a terrible chel Hashem. V'haraya, we say, V'har isha chav yitzchayim, oyev yom l'ros tov, netzor v'shom chameirah, guard your tongue, usfasech midah v'mirma, V'har isha chav yitzchayim, whoever wants long life, that's what he has to do. So, V'chav yitzchayim said, Baruch Hashem, I came now to the age of 80, so at least there will not be chel Hashem, and Bela should make a party, that this will be a kid shem shamayim. So the same idea that what Rashi with Rapam Zatzal quoted from the Medrash Rabbah. Yaakov Avinu was frightened. All the efforts of my mother would go down the drain, would go down the tubes, if I somehow, God forbid, would be impacted. Let me just mention one last thing, if you don't mind. There's a famous Rashi also, Gemara Chulin, that Rashi quotes. Also, Rashi says that by Yibasa Yaakov Avado, he had to go back to the other side because he forgot. Pachim tanim. If you got a poor, in Yiddish you would say, I grew up in Yiddish, I hope you don't mind. A poor krigalach. A poor krigalach are like a few little jugs. I don't know how to translate pachim tanim, but I imagine you know the translation. So what's amazing, so Rashi quotes the Imam called Bikan, the tzaddikim shechabim malayim mamon, yosef gufa. Famous Rashi. The Mashon of their human comments, what, their money is more chavim for them than their physical bodies? What in heaven's name does that mean? He went to get the pachim tanim that he forgot. The few, whatever, the 5 shekel worth of a pachim that he forgot over there. So the Yisod, of course, is the same idea. I'm sure I heard this from my pachim. That's how it was. Probably another occasion, I'm just utilizing this opportunity to say this over. Namely, the Gemara says a few times in Shas, we say in the Kriya Shema, V'hatas Hashem al-Odecha, V'chol l'bobecha, V'chol rash l'ol yodecha. What's l'ol yodecha? Chol m'moncha, all your money. You're supposed to love Hashem. So Chazal said, Yomar said, Yesh lecha adam sheh, mamonu yoteh chaliv ala migufo. There are people like that. I've met a few in my lifetime. That the money is worth more to them than their lives. The Gemara uses it in context of the Gimel Averis, the 3 cardinal sins you have to give up your life for. Yomar said, your life is more important than your money. So that should be fairly obvious, I think, to all of us. But there are people, all kinds of people. So now the question is, why would Yaakov Avinu then go ahead and run after a few pachim tanim? What's kadite? That he has to run after these jugs that are obviously not worth, necessarily worth a lot of money. The answer is, Gemara said, because shein poshim yideh megezim. Tzadikim are very chaviv. They're very yashar. Everything they do is completely blot, especially when it comes to trying to be as honest as we possibly can. And that's a very important lesson. My father, Moshav, used to speak about that all the time. That we try to be careful. Try to be as honest as we can. In this country, we are very, very challenged with this issue. That's the understatement of the year. And I'm not getting into all the details now, but we have to try our best, certainly with Benal Mechavero in the area of money. We have to be as honest as we can. And one more thing further, which now this brings to mind, always my rabbi used to say, sight is guilt, time is money. That was one of the favorite expressions that I heard, that a person, in fact, chashivus of kesef should be judged by time. The way we use our time, we have to try to use our time in a very effective and very industrious and very competent and proper kind of way. All of our Lord Hashem is calling our time. I was so fit to grow up with Rabbeim. We didn't waste a second. Didn't waste a moment. I saw that with all my Rabbeim. Saw that with my parents. Whatever we do, whether we're working, we should work properly. Whether we are relaxing, we should relax properly. Whether we are schmoozing with someone, if for necessity, for a reason, whatever the reason may be, whether psychological reasons, other kinds of reasons, etc. Now, so in effect, that's something that is very significant. So here, there are a lot of lessons that we can learn, actually, from Yaakov Avinu and from this Parsha. And so the Yisod I wanted to lay down was the Rambam's Yisod regarding the Ruah of the Torah, as opposed to the Ruah of the Rav, Shemayim Machet. But at the same time, I remember they said, Chofetz Chaim, they wanted to paint his home. He says, it's not necessary. He says, you want to wallpaper my home with lot of Gemara. That's what you want to do. And it costs money, and money is blet of Gemara, and I prefer blet of Gemara. We have to have some sense of, I live in a generation, I teach very young people, that they have all the time in the world, and they seem to feel that, you know, they can just go ahead and even fritter away time, and that's one of the lessons I try to get across, but I don't have to get across as such outstanding Balabata in front of me, who understand the value of time and the value of money. However, we should, Yitz Hashem, learn from Yaakov Avinu, these very important, very fundamental basics, and Beis Hashem, we should become all of us tzaddikim, like Yaakov Avinu, Shavei Yaakov Asadi, Kamer B'chol Tzaddikai. That's what we should do as well. Shukran, thank you very much for coming. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.